All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to our podcast called The Cine-American Dream, where Duke students will be giving their two cents about some films. My name is Hisu.
And my name is Megan. And this week we'll be talking about the spaghetti western Antes Llega la Muerte, which is directed by Joaquin Luis Romero Marchant.
Yeah, so this movie, also known as The Seven from Texas in English, is about a guy named Bob Carey. He is arrested after shooting a man to protect his fiancée, Mary. And so after spending 5 years in jail, Bob is finally released, but discovers that Mary is now married to another man, Clifford. But Clifford then finds out that Mary has a brain tumor and needs an operation to stay alive, but he doesn't inform her and instead tells her that she's pregnant to explain why she's having headaches, nausea, and other symptoms. And so they plan to move to a different town so that Mary can have the operation that's necessary to save her life. And Clifford hires some other men to help them on their journey, although it turns out that their intentions are to rob the travelers instead of protecting them.
Yeah, so just to give some context into this unique storyline, so this film is actually semi-autobiographical. Marchant's mother did have lung cancer, and his family members tried everything they possibly could to save her, but nothing more could be done, and unfortunately, she did end up passing away. Marchant had this desperate situation of saving a loved one in mind while filming. And at the end of this movie, they're almost to the town when Mary actually dies and the film abruptly stops before the wagon even reaches the town line. So from this description and Marchant's past, we can see that he wanted to create Mary as a very important character. But the way that she's portrayed is very interesting, especially in a modern context. So yeah, Hisu, what did you think about that?
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, Mary definitely plays like a very major role in this movie. I personally felt a little frustrated with how she was represented. I think especially with just the story about her autonomy in terms of, or the lack of autonomy in terms of not knowing anything about her medical condition and thinking that she's pregnant instead of having a brain tumor, and how the men seem to like make all these medical decisions for her and gave her this like false reality of like starting a new life and not including her in this decision, I think was a very significant part of her portrayal in this film. Yeah, what did you think, Megan?
Yeah, I would tend to agree. It was really frustrating to see her not have any personal autonomy over the decisions that were being made surrounding her health and her future. I mean, you see it, or rather you don't see anything about her own personality. And it's hard to know who she is without these other male characters, which is kind of interesting in the way she's portrayed. I mean, she doesn't have the ability to make any of these decisions, and that's, I mean, frustrating for me personally, but I would imagine it would be frustrating for her too. And she does have this, as you mentioned, like this really interesting false belief about her pregnancy. I think that's a very significant lie to tell as a husband to a wife, that she's pregnant, and that explains her symptoms. But a pregnancy is also really symbolic, and you see this all throughout literature and film. And it's possible that this pregnancy is symbolic of this new growth or new opportunity that Mary has the potential to have, or Mary and her husband have the potential to have. But it's really false or thwarted or something like that. It also could be symbolic of the American dream. And again, it could be that this is their false reality. And that it could be that they want this American dream, but it's out of reach or something like that. But this pregnancy is very significant in terms of the fact that it could represent this new growth or this opportunity, but it doesn't really exist.
Yeah, no, I definitely love that association of like pregnancy being symbolic of the American dream. And I also wonder, that makes me wonder if we could even extend that to a bigger, just to Mary as her general character, like even extending beyond her pregnancy. You know, it might be even possible that Mary could be symbolic of the American dream as a character. Like we've already encountered some examples where women have been like historically associated with America. I think particularly like with the Statue of Liberty, that's like a very prominent symbol of America that immigrants encounter when they're coming for the first time to Ellis Island. And so in this film, Mary like represents something that like Bob really wants but can't have because she's with Clifford. And then Clifford thought that he had Mary, or he thought that he had her in his grasp, but ultimately at the end ends up losing her. And so it's just like representing someone that like he wanted to have and thought he did, but ultimately like falls between like his grasp. And so, yeah, I think that could also connect back to this like false expectation of the American dream and just representing something that you thought you had but didn't actually have. Yeah, so I also felt very frustrated with the ending when Mary dies. And yeah, I just wanted to ask what you thought about the ending.
Yeah, I also was very frustrated. It's hard to follow this character all the way through the film and suddenly she's just gone. And you're like, seriously, she's almost there. How could she possibly not make it? But I think that the fact that she's almost there is really significant. And again, goes back to those false expectations of the American dream. Like it's within your grasp, but can you actually get to it? We don't know. And I think I see this a lot in the way that the film has many different titles. So the original title is in Spanish. Like we said before, it's Antes Llega la Muerte. And it was mostly popular in Spain, that specific title. But this film did go international and was very popular in Italy as well. But when it moved over to Italy, it was actually given the name Y Sette del Texas to try to capitalize on the success of another Western film with a similar name. And this also became the international title when it was translated into English. So most Americans would know the film as The Seven from Texas. And I think that this is also really significant to Mary's character and the way that she was portrayed and the way that she ended up being part of the story, because the original title is really just talking about her death and this time before she actually dies, like what happens and what is she told and who is she. But then we get to The Seven from Texas, and that's really doesn't have anything to do with her at all. It's more the journey that the men are taking to try to save her life. Even though it seems more of just like a typical Western journey through the desert. So it's really interesting that that shift took place to get away from Mary's character as being kind of the purpose behind the story.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, because like with the title like Seven from Texas, it makes you like wonder who is included in that seven and how that seven was just like focused on like the men and like didn't include Mary at all. So yeah, a very interesting like transition in that title.
Right, exactly. And it also leads to this question of what does the film ask of you? And I know that we've both communicated some serious frustrations with the way that Mary's been portrayed throughout the film. But there could be a differing opinion here.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Because I feel like for us, because we are both female identifying, like that frustration is like something that was just like very prominent for us, that we were just like frustrated with like was like represented as like, the stereotypical you know, stereotypical female, whereas like someone who are not female identifying may not have had like as similar of a reaction of us in terms of being really frustrated with the portrayal of women, and not just like their portrayal, but also just like the sheer lack of female characters, that it was mostly just focused on this one character, Mary. So I could also see how like a different audience would have like a different level of sensitivity to that, or not find that as apparent for their viewing experience.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, Mary was evidently a huge part of this film, even though her character was not exactly given the most autonomy or anything. But there are also a lot of other aspects in the film that say a lot about ideas of America or the Western genre. So just to get into some of that and go back to some of what the film was about. So when the travelers start their journey, Bob is actually shot by a man named Ringo, who was trying to get revenge on Bob for killing his brother, which is the reason he went to jail at the beginning of the film. Bob had already shot Ringo's hands in a previous encounter, so both men are found injured by the travelers on the side of the road. And they decide to take them both along on the journey so they're not left to die from dehydration and blood loss. As they travel through the desert, they experience numerous obstacles, including Indian attacks, dehydration, betrayal by some of the men who wanted to steal Clifford's money, and the deaths of several members of the party, including Bob.
Yeah, so like on this journey, we see the significance of like the setting where they filmed this movie, and in terms of like landscape, because I think like the background of the desert is really important. So it might be good to talk about that setting for a little bit and where they filmed this movie. They shot the desert scenes in the desert of Tabernas in Spain, and this was a very popular area to shoot a lot of westerns and spaghetti westerns, because of its similarities to deserts in northern Africa and Arabian deserts. This is actually the only real desert in Europe. So the background didn't look exactly like America. It looked a little bit more like a stereotypical like Middle Eastern or Central American desert in terms of just being completely barren. There are like no shrubs or anything. It was just complete like emptiness and just sand, so it kind of didn't remind me of like the deserts in like the U.S. Southwest where the story of this film was supposedly set.
Yeah, and I think this film also points out some interesting parts of the U.S. Southwest, in particular the city that that they were trying to reach in the end was Laredo, and though the city has a really long and very interesting history, I think it's important to call attention to the fact that they had been part of an independent republic for a short period of time that included land both in modern day Texas and in modern day Mexico. This was before the actual national border was created. But once it was, and the border between the U.S. and Mexico was delineated, because Laredo had been such an important part of this independent republic, we saw that the border basically just split the town in half. And so people on both sides of this border had interests in business and family on both sides. There was a very strong connection between the U.S. and Mexico in this city. And by the time we get to the time period that this film is set, Laredo was a really modern town, especially for the developing U.S. Southwest. There weren't a lot of towns at that point in time, and had strong trade, was pretty technologically advanced for the time period, and it still really had a strong connection to Mexico through business and family. And the fact that this connection is so strong in this city is pretty significant, especially when we get into some of the different characters that we see in the film. So we do see an example of Mexican immigrants, and especially through the character Tomaso. He is called a lazy Mexican multiple times, and I think this is really interesting as we are getting to the idea that Laredo is so strong, has such a strong connection to Mexico, but maybe that's not the same idea as the rest of the U.S. Southwest.
But
that's really significant. And I know that that's kind of an interesting point to point out for a lot of the different groups that we see represented.
Yeah,
in the film.
For sure. Just like the portrayals of like other groups that we see in this movie, particularly with the Native Americans, we see like They're like portrayed as like very excessively aggressive, and they whenever the travelers encounter any Native Americans, they're always assumed to be like very dangerous or like savage, and they always like refer to it as Indian trouble, and that phrase is like repeated quite a few times throughout the film. And even on their journey, there's a part where they have to go across Indian territory, and that is they call that suicide. And so just this portrayal of like the violence of Native Americans and like shooting battles between the travelers and the American Indians and causing a lot of chaos and panic for the town is just like a very significant representation of the Native Americans that is also seen in like other Westerns, and also like extending to other groups in this film. We also see a very interesting portrayal of Chinese immigrants. There is a prominent character named Lin Chu who travels with them on their journey. And throughout the film, he speaks with like a very broken English accent, both when the film was translated into English and also in the Spanish version. He just has like a very strong accent. And like there's a part where he teaches Mary how to use chopsticks when eating her food. And there are also quite a few times when he comments about eating dogs and coyote meat. So very racist, like stereotypical, like Asian representation that was in this Western. That was like really interesting for me to see because I don't think I've really come across the representation of like Chinese or Asian immigrants in Western films. And so that just like makes me wonder if like this is what like the director's idea, like if this is how the director saw like the representations of these group or the way that he thought that they were portrayed in America. What did you think about that?
Yeah, I thought that I mean, it's hard to say what the director wanted to say with these characters, and to an extent, there probably is some truth to some of these stereotypes in terms of the way that they were thought of in the United States in this time period. And yes, they're pretty awful stereotypes. They're pretty racist. But it's hard to say whether the director thought that, or there was some element of racism, things like that happening in the US, and he was just capitalizing on that to create these characters. So yeah, I think it's hard to make a statement, but what did you think,
Yeah, no, I
Jisoo?
definitely agree with that because he definitely like can't speak for the director. But I think it's just like really interesting the way that he was portraying these like different groups in America because I think it does like bring some truth to it back in the time. And just like is a really interesting way to show America from the perspective of someone who hadn't lived in America. So yeah.
Yeah, and we see that a lot in the genre, like in these Westerns that were created specifically by directors who were not from the United States and may not have even been to the United States. So this film itself was one of the earliest Westerns. It was before the iconic Leone spaghetti Westerns. But we can see that through some of these characteristics and exaggeration of these stereotypes, that some of this does kind of continue within the Western genre. So this may have been, even though it wasn't the most popular film, it may have been a good start to the genre and creating some of these characteristics in spaghetti Westerns and other Western films from directors outside the United States.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And like another like very classic component of the Western that's like very prevalent in this film is like music, and how there's often like a lot of background music playing in a lot of the scenes and how it can almost like anticipate the atmosphere of the scene. So like for example, at the very beginning of the film, we have like very tranquil like orchestral music while the camera is like portraying very idyllic scenes of like mountains and like the nature and the landscape. And then when Mary finds out that Bob is out of jail, there's like very bright and upbeat music that the townspeople are dancing to at the time. And then at the end, when they're almost like reaching the town where Mary could get her surgery and survive. They're almost there, but they're like running out of water. They're like completely dehydrated. There's just like very unsettling music as like the camera portrays like the shots of like the sun directly. So yeah, music is also like a very classic component that plays a big role in this film. So yeah, very like classic components of a Western.
And we see that in the Leone film. I mean, that's where our music came from at the very beginning of the podcast. And that music is now associated with pretty much anything related to the Western genre. So I do think the music is very iconic in terms of defining the genre as well.
For sure. So now to start to wrap things up, through this podcast, we've discussed like three overarching themes. First, we talked about like Mary and the role that gender played in this film and kind of talked about our frustrations with this character. And then we started talking about like the landscape of the desert and the idea of borders, specifically the border between the US and Mexico. And then finally talking about like the stereotypes of like different populations that this movie represented, and just in general, just like representation of this film in terms of like different populations, and the connection to like the overarching theme of Westerns or the genre of Westerns.
Yeah, and this all kind of ties back to what do we think they were trying to say about America, and specifically these European directors who have never been to America, but have these very ingrained perspectives of especially the American Southwest, and a lot of the people who do live there. And again, this does kind of perpetuate the Western genre. We talked about how this film was an early example of the genre, and that was very important for defining the genre from here on out. We see a lot of these characteristics still a part of the film, even today. But yeah, and so with that, thank you so much for listening to our podcast, The Cin-American Dream. We hope you enjoyed listening, and we encourage you to check the film out if you're interested in learning more about these characters and about these plot lines. And with that, we will see you next week on The Cin-American Dream.